John 15. At one point in my life, this was my favorite chapter, and in it was my favorite verse. John chapter 15. John 15. I'll share a little story with you about something my dad did. For me, a long time ago, you might have heard, some of y'all might have heard this story. If two or three of you hadn't, it'd be good to share it. I like to share things about my dad because he passed away, and it keeps me thinking about him. He helped me a lot. The first few years of my life, my dad left home when I was 8, and that was pretty tough for me. And like I had most of the time. Growing up, all I heard was negative about my dad, you know, because I was the divorce and I lived with my mom. So the majority of the time I would hear the negative about my father. Well, my father got saved when he was 36 years old. And after he got saved, he was miraculously converted. And what I mean by that is the very next day he went 180-degree turn towards Jesus. That means he was doing everything that he didn't do before. And it was so radical of a change. Those first 3 or 4 years, I didn't see a whole lot of him because I didn't get to see that. It was just every other weekend, but I knew something had changed. Fast forward to this part of this story, I was in, I don't know how, I don't have the dates correct on this whatsoever. My stepsister got very, very ill to the point that the doctors gave her like an 85% chance of dying. We were down at one of the hospitals, and she ended up going to Memorial. And this is before I knew anything about Chattanooga hospitals. Now I'm like a pro at them. Anyway, you'll get that sometime down the road. Pre-pandemic, that is. But I remember we were sitting down there with her, and the doctor said, we're going to move her from this Erlanger East over to Memorial, wherever it was. And she'll probably 90% of the chance on from the ride here to there, she'll probably pass away. Well, anyway, my dad, you know, and mom, they went over. She made it to the other hospital, and my dad and me and I was coming in and out of the hospital with him, and I just got started in ministry, so this might be 2006, 2007 ish, like that. I'd been about a couple years in. He'd been about 14, 15 years in the ministry. And we were sitting around talking at the hospital, and I said, what are you reading? He was reading part of Scripture. I said, you know, give me some knowledge here. And he said, son, I'm reading about where the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness. And about a month in, they were desiring to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. They were like, I wish we could go back and have the onions and the leeks and the boiled flesh we had in Egypt, you know. And me, I'm just about 2 years into this thing, and I'm so dumb, and I'm still pretty dumb. Don't amen that. I said, man, they were so wrong and so dumb for wanting that. And my dad said, well, Kevin, he goes, be careful. He said, there's going to be a day when God takes you so far out from what you know that you're going to wish you could go back to something that was easy and comfortable for you. And I hang on that. I hang on that all the time. I wish I could go back and tell my younger preacher self, God, I was so dumb. Because there's been 100 times where I've said to God, I wish I could go hang out by something that was ready-made. I used to come to churches and say, you want to preach? I would jump up from the back pew, run up, grab my Bible, preach a message, and I'd be out at my car before everybody else. I would pew, neck down the road. Didn't have a care, a worry, a thought about what and what not. Man, to have something just handed to you, just do that, just eat it. I was like, man, what a blessing. That's the one thing I miss about my dad in ministry the most is being able to pick up that phone when I'm at a place that I just don't know. And he didn't have to give me the answer to it, Charlie. He just had to be on the other side. All right. He just had to be saying, Kevin, it's all right. God's going to, I don't even know what he would say, but it didn't matter. It just hope that I needed to talk to him. And you know what? Let me finish that story with this. One of the most amazing things happened with my sister at that time. They gave her such a big time of not going to make it. My dad, now all you women in here are going to cringe at this deal right here, maybe. He looked at my stepmom with an 85% chance of her daughter dying, his stepdaughter. And he said, honey, 8 o'clock in the morning, on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was, he said, I've got to get up and I have to go to the prison and share the gospel with these men in Nashville. He said, God's put it on my heart that I must go because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And he walked out of that hospital with this right here. I believe God, if he's going to send me back to the prison, he's going to do an amazing work in Christy's life. And Debbie even says, that was a hard, hard day. Because my dad was the rock and the anchor of our family. And he walked out that door, went into that prison and shared the gospel. And within about a 24-hour period, my stepsister started making a turn at 180 degrees. Next thing you know, when they said she would not live, they went in there and they walked in the room and she was eating. She's like, hey, guys, I think I'm going to be all right. It was that amazing. It took her a long time to get off oxygen and stuff like that, but it was, you know, but I could just imagine in most people's life, if your husband or your wife says, all right here in this tragic calamity, I'm out, and I'll be back, you know. My goodness. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. Well, I don't know why, as I was sitting there, God just started dropping that on me about that time, about those flesh pots. God will take you out to places that you don't think you can handle. Matter of fact, you won't be able to handle and you won't be able to comprehend so well. But that's when God's doing 90% of the work instead of you just stepping into stuff. All right, y'all good? Let's just jump into John 15. I want to go to 12. My real goal was to shoot over there, maybe into about verse 19, but that, you know as well as I do, that's probably not going to happen. John chapter 15, 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. I am the true vine. God, if you want to know this, I want y'all to get this. This is talking about the world. The main thing in this world, the main thing in any vineyard is the vine. Jesus is the main thing of this world. Amen? He is the main thing. If you don't get Jesus before you get out of this world, you have failed miserably in this life. Amen? The world might call you a success, but what the goal was you to find Jesus or Jesus to find you, and you resign your heart and mind to him and let him be the Lord of your life. God is in control of the earth. Y'all might want to underline that, highlight that. I know how I feel sometimes. I think the worst things are going to happen to us are going to come from the enemy or this world or a bomb or a war or a famine. That is not true. The worst thing that's ever going to happen to this earth is God is going to judge this earth one final time by fire. That's of God. Amen. So be careful who you're worrying about. I preached that on Easter. God is the one who has the power. He's in control. You should fear God, put all your fear in God, and then all the other things start minimizing what you fear in. Do y'all get that? Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. Let's do a bold full stop right there. I want you to get this wholeheartedly in your mind, Christian. Not unbeliever, Christian. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now listen, if you'll ever go to an orchard is a set-apart place off the regular beaten path of the world, okay? If you go to an apple orchard, peach orchard, a vineyard, you're going to eventually run into something that looks totally organized. All the trees, all the vines will be in order. You will see patches. Matter of fact, if you really want to do this, it's easy for us. Go over to Wooden's Apple House, about 2 or 3 miles outside of where they're at. You'll start seeing these trees, and they're in rows, like complete order. And you'll look, and they'll be shaped funny because somebody's touched them. Amen? Somebody's molding them. Somebody's making them. Somebody's spraying them. You'll see tractors, other different things. I want you to get a hold of that. I want you to see this. We're talking about the people in the orchard. The people that are lost and undone, they're outside of God. He's not in charge of you. He's not in control of you. Your life is going on without His authority. You understand what I'm saying right here? So I want you to get this part. For us who get in faith, we believe in Jesus Christ. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. His Holy Spirit draws us, and we become born again. But guess what? We don't follow that up, and or we stop producing fruit. Listen what He says. He taketh that away. That should give everybody in this room great pause. This is not Preacher Kevin. This ain't another preacher. This is not a deacon. This is not leadership. This is God speaking in red letter words. If you're not producing fruit, you're going to come out of the vineyard. Okay, if you don't produce fruit, you're coming out of the world. So someone said, well, why so-and-so? It's either, there's only two options here. God comes walking through His orchard and loves you so much and says, time to go home. I want you in heaven more than you. I want you to be here. That's good. And the other one is, you're my child, but you're not doing anything. You don't even represent me, and I want you to be fruitful in this world. And I'd rather take you on to heaven than leave you here in the orchard and be unfruitful. Man, I hope y'all get that. This is not a lost person. This is why everybody in this room, it's Sunday night. We should be looking, God, what would you have me to do? Not what I want to do, what would you have me to do? And can I just go ahead and jump on that? Let's go all the way over to that. God would have you lead other people to Jesus. That's what He would have you do. He would have you, that fruit is Jesus and your salvation. That fruit is not some, there's fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, happy, all that, yes. But praise God, there is one thing. When you get saved, you want other people to have what you have. And listen, I've done this before. You probably heard me say this. When you go, I love that apple orchard. Man, I used to live right in the middle of that apple orchard. Man, it was amazing. But I figured, man, these apples have so many different uses. One of them are just good old-fashioned eating. It'll give you nutrients. You bite it, you eat it, it gives you energy, it gives everything you need. Then you can go to the other extreme is the apple dumpling. That's the other extreme. That's where I dwelt when I was over there. I love the Honeycrisp. I'd eat them by the box. But then I waited around Thanksgiving, and guess what time it is then? It's apple dumpling season. For me, I don't know what everybody else was doing. They might have been doing it all summer. Me, I was over there at Thanksgiving, give me two apple dumplings, and they'd ask the dumbest question every single time. Do you want ice cream with that? I mean, what do I look like? Yes, as much as possible. Are you understanding? Both of those things were still apples. There's an apple in that apple dumpling, I promise. It's covered in crusty, caramely goodness. Some of y'all are going to go apple dumpling hunting right after this. But guess what? It's still the same product. And it's meeting the need. This one's over here is just enjoyment and fun and excitement and probably some diabetes. That's it. But over here on this spectrum, this just gives you life. But there's a whole bunch of Jesus in between. You should be producing Jesus for every need. You should. You're fruitful. If you're fruitful, people are going to see Jesus in your life for whatever need they have. And if they don't see it and God doesn't see it, out of the orchard. Out of the vineyard. Man, I'm telling you right now, I just want to be useful. I just want to be it. God, I don't care where, I don't care how. God, just use my life. Just use my life. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit taketh away. This part's fun right here. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Gary, I don't like that either.
Because all of a sudden now you're gaining fruit. All of a sudden you're a Jesus person. You're sharing Jesus here a little, Jesus there a little, Jesus, and you're learning and you're growing. When you first become a Christian, you got to learn how to walk and talk and act and all that stuff because the Holy Spirit's new in there and that voice sounds different than the one you've been living by since that period of time. No matter how old you are, you know the voice of sin. You know the voice of your flesh. But all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes in there and all of a sudden it's different. But after a little while, you should start sharing what happened to you. If you're a believer in Jesus tonight, somebody should be asking you, what happened? You shouldn't have to tell them. You should, wait a minute, you're not cussing. You're not lying. You're not the same obnoxious. You're not the mean spirited. You're not hard-hearted. You're forgiving. You're loving. Has that happened? Has that happened? I didn't, man, when I, August 28 of 04, when I got saved, I went right back into the same shawl that I'd been working in for seven prior years. It took my boss about 6 weeks. He went, Kevin, there's something totally different about you. He goes, you don't even talk the same. All my coworkers, they went from everybody would sit with me in the lunchroom to nobody. One crazy other Christian, the whole plant, boom, right together, right? That's how it went down. I remember my boss, after about a year of being a Christian at that plant, which I called Little Egypt of all the places, called it Little Egypt because it was wild there for me. And to be changed there is wild. But I remember I was standing there, and I had this big revival I wanted to go to over the weekend. And I remember standing there, and all of a sudden they said, we got work this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And I went, no. And I didn't have any days off. No days required to go off. I'm like, this is crazy. And my boss is looking at me. I'm looking at him. His name's Ricky. And I'm like, mm-mm-mm. So one guy over there that doesn't go to church, doesn't even represent, he goes, what if we're going to church? I went, oh, hope, right? Rick goes, no. No, not even church? So I'm like, oh, man. So then about 2 seconds later, Rick goes, Kevin, I need you up in my office real quick. I went, yeah, you do, buddy. Yes, you do. We're going to have a good old spiritual movement up there because I want to tell you, I'm not going to be here Sunday. I'm going, I'm preaching. Because that's what I told God. If I can go, I'm going to go. I walked up in his office, and I didn't get a word out. He goes, come here and sit down. He goes, I want you to tell you this. Saturday and Sunday, we are working. You are not going to be here. You're going to be off preaching somewhere. And I went, well, yes. He goes, I know. You told everybody you're going to preach this weekend, and I know you've been preaching. I know you've been serving God, and we can all see it. We can all tell it. You don't have to explain it to me. That other person that asked that hadn't been going to church, hadn't been doing nothing. So guess what? They're not getting the day off, but you're going to get the day off. I want you to call in Saturday. I want you to call in Sunday, but those days are not going to be used against you. You have a good weekend. I was like, hey, Rick, you know, I was really going to kind of go back and forth with you on this thing. He goes, you don't have to. Just get out of here. All right, then. I'll see you. I was all jacked up in some competition. I was ready to like, you know what? But that God speaks for you. He changes you. You don't have to do all that. If God's changing you, if He's in you, you don't have to make a big statement about it. People automatically go, they're just different. Man, they're just different. I don't like this. I don't like verse 2. You change, but guess what? When you start bearing a little bit of fruit, seeing a little bit of change here and there, guess what God does? You might want to write this stuff down because it's powerful. He comes and cuts some of that stuff off. Somebody in here just listen. All of a sudden, you'll be doing all the things you love and all you care for, and all of a sudden, you'll get down into a pattern. Okay, I'm preaching here, I'm sharing here, I'm doing this here. These people are in my life, these people are in your life. And God will come in and say, snip, snip, snip. But God, them were some good people, and that was a good ministry, and that was a good thing. Why in the world are you cutting that off right now? Because they were here for a season and a period in your time that are no longer needed, and I need you to grow in some other areas, because if you'll grow in some other areas, I can get more fruit from you. I'm preaching better than you're letting on right there, because some of y'all are wondering why some things are falling out of your life, some people are falling out of your life, some things that are falling out of your life, and you're sitting there wondering, why did that go? God, that was a good thing. That was a great group. Those were good people. And you're thinking, man, God, is something's wrong. The devil's moving, and he's getting rid of people. No. When he sees you, see, I talked to Chubby and Mark that own the apple orchard over there, and they said, you have to have a great eye to prune. He said, you've got to have a great eye. You've got to see another branch growing that's going to get more sunlight and more nutrients from the ground than maybe two branches that are only producing half of what that one branch can provide. And he said, but once you cut them off, they're gone. Amen? But he said, I want you to remind you of something, Kevin. He goes, I want to tell you something. He goes, guess what? And he said it in such a good way. He's a manly way, not a sissy way. He said, nobody loves them trees more than us. God's cutting around on you, but there ain't nobody loves you more than God. Golly, I know sometimes somebody has to do some things. Some things have to come out and off of your life for you to progress. But when you see them come off, it's the scariest thing in your world. How can I go any further? How can I do any more? What do you want me? Clip, clip, clip. But then down the road, you're stronger in an area where you didn't think you would be strong. You've created another environment. You've went to another place. You've added. God never sends you anywhere where you're the only one giving to people. You're also receiving. You're always receiving. You don't go to a church and the church just says, feed me, feed me, feed me. If that's sick. You don't know this, but when you start coming and being a part of any ministry, look, we're going to say a church because that's what we are. When you're a part of a church for a period of time, you become just as needed as the people that are needed in your life. You wouldn't believe this, but somebody keeps thinking, I'm glad he or she shows up. They're important to me. Somebody counts on you. Somebody's leaning towards you. And somebody's like, man, I'm glad they're here. The devil say, nobody cares. Nobody wants you. Nobody quit, leave, do whatever. Praise God. Just if God wants you here, stay until God says. Until God says. Don't do anything that people say. Don't even do things how you feel. When God says. Amen? Because guess what? That's a big deal. There's a big deal there. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. See right there what he does? He goes, you're all saved. This group I'm talking to, you're saved. You're washed by the word. You're in. I tell people this all the time. They say, man, I got saved. I got born again. And I'm like, yeah, you know what you just got? You just got yourself a daddy. What does that mean? Daddies do two things. Daddies provide, daddies protect, but daddies punish. Amen. That punishment thing is a real daddy quality. God, unless you don't have one, amen, you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you've ever been punished by a good daddy, and I'm not just talking about getting beat. I'm just talking about a look of disappointment. My dad could, I mean, all he had to do is turn and look at me and my brother. I'm like, oh. We're clean through the word. We're clean. We're born again. But guess what? We get that Heavenly Father who's going to, he would rather smash you to oblivion than let you live like a heathen. Amen? Than let you live any old way you want to. That's the best way I knew that I got saved. The way I felt about sin, the way I felt about God, and correction. Man, y'all want to know, I've told y'all this 100 times, you'll get it 100 more. You want to know what real correction is for me right now? You know how God does me? If I get out of the will of God and I start doing Kevin over God, you know what he does? He turns the volume down. Y'all have heard me say this before, but it's absolutely true. And if you're a preacher and the volume goes off, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you're sitting there going, it's going to be up to me to come up with something that people need. And you know what? That might work for 1 or 2 or 5 or 6 or 10, but that ain't going to work for everybody. And that ain't going to work for them very long. And I'd rather get 1 word from God than 100 from a man, period. 1 word from God will do. And if y'all don't know this, man, I love hearing from God. I love it. That is my obsession in life, is chasing after him to show me something. And most of it, I don't preach. And most of it, I don't preach. Because I don't feel qualified to preach some of the stuff that God drops on me. And I just sit there and waller around in it thinking, my God, that's good. Waller around, that's a good word, Kevin. If y'all can get that picture out of your mind, let's move to verse 4. Verse 4, abide in me. This is so sweet. Y'all going to love this right here.
abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Watch this right here. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Listen, there is no change if Christ is not doing the change. You can try it, it'll fail. You won't forgive right. I could stop right there. You won't forgive right. Won't forgive right. That's 99.9% of most Christians' problem in this world, that everybody can't tell the differences. We don't forgive right. You won't just say, all right, I'm over it. God, I forgive them before they even ask. Jesus on the cross, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. He didn't ask you if you were going to do it. Matter of fact, that was 2,000 years ago, and he was talking about you and me. Forgive right. Can't give. Can't give right. That's another big problem in the church. We thought, man, church is great. We shouldn't have to give. I don't want nobody harping on giving and giving money. You know, if God ever gets in your heart and mind and your life, you'll understand every penny you've ever gotten came from God. Every nickel, every dime, every penny. And some of you will say, well, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. You wouldn't have one bootstrap without God. And it'll be easy. You'll give. And how will you give? You'll give out of a cheerful heart. You won't ask, oh, God, that's enough. You'll say, what do we get to give? What do we get to give? It's a whole mind change. I remember when we made up our minds. Well, we got to give to God. We've got to give to God. We've got to give Him something. And we're like, we didn't even know. We didn't have a clue about tithing. We didn't have a clue about giving. We just said, we got to give something back to God. We can't be getting all this and not give back to God. You can't attend this church and not give back to God. Can't. Air's on, lights on, gymnasium. I mean, we're building another building. You're just going to sit down. This is a nice place. Man, David one time was going to bury his family. And the guy said, we will give you the land. He said, no, no. One time David was going to offer. He was going to worship. And he said, I want to worship right there. And the guy said, you can have the land for free. No, no. God's given me the ability to give. I'm giving. I'm sowing in. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, the preacher just wants your money, I don't even know who gives and who doesn't give. I don't touch the money. I don't look at the money. I don't even care about the money. But I do care about this. If we're going to do the things that God wants us to do here, everybody here has to lean in to give and what God puts on your heart to give. We have to. We're sitting here looking at $500,000 on that building right there. If you done the math at everybody that just comes to this church, if everybody tithed in this church, we wouldn't even blink at what we'd have to pay. We wouldn't. If everybody paid their tithes on 10%, we would look at it and go, that ain't nothing. Whew, move on, preacher. You're going to get in trouble. Love. You won't be able to. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop on the love part because guess what? I didn't know how to. I didn't even know what that meant. I did not know what that word meant. Can I go ahead and go one step further? Sometimes I forget. Whew. There's a big, I could probably do some work on that. Love means you give yourself away to others no matter what they can give back to you. Amen? Love. I give away my love. I'm thinking about you more than you're thinking about me. I can give to you more than you can give to me. Is that good? Are you getting that right there? Love. I never knew how to love. All I knew was receive. Receive, receive, receive. Take, take, take. When I got saved and God said, think about that person. Think about that person. Think about that person. Love her. Love him. Give them. Go and you do something for them instead of yourself. Oh, I was like, what in the world has happened to me? Amen? What in the world has happened to me? You can't even love right. You'll be sitting here, you'll be sitting in life going, man, why ain't this happening to me? Why ain't it about me? You get Christ in your heart and life, the love changes. You start thinking, man, how can I affect somebody else? It's big. Verse 6, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Whew. That's not lost people, guys. That's not in this situation. It is lost people. Sorry, I didn't get that right. What I want y'all to see is, if a man abide in not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. That is a lost person. Is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That is a lost person, okay? Look, we're looking at this right here. This is somebody who doesn't abide. That means there's no hookup. As we look at this word right here, Christianity is an inside job. Amen? If he don't abide, there's no way a person, if they don't get hooked up to the vine, it can't come out through the branches, okay? Verse 7, if he abide in me and in my word, abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Big promise right there. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Disciples bear as much fruit because guess what? They're always being cut back. They're always under the lordship of the Father. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 9, honest, truthful love. Honest, truthful love. That's what God, that's the kind of love that Jesus loved us. When he walked with his disciples, he corrected them, he encouraged them, he built them up. Listen, all the love is on the table. All the things right there are on the table. When Jesus is leading your life, then guess what? He should be able to love you right. When you are in Christ, you should love other Christians right. Do you understand what I'm saying? You should be able to be truthful with somebody, lay something out before them, and it be able to be accepted and received. Whew. That's big. Amen? That's big. To be able to love each other in such a way to where you could be more effective for Christ. To be my disciples. The root word of disciple is discipline, right? To be disciplined. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Right? So you're going to be able to operate by the way God wants you to do, implanted not the commandments, but the Spirit of God in you, so therefore you keep the things that God wants you to do. The commandments are then implanted, right? We know that God's put them in our heart and our mind before we got saved, but then the Holy Spirit comes on board and he gives us the ability to live those out. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't live out the commandments. You can't live out the will of God. You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. Verse 11. We're only trying to get two more verses in. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I love that word right there. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not something, oh man, I feel good. Joy is in there despite what you go through. When the Holy Spirit of God resides in you, you are a part of him and he is a part of you. That Holy Spirit resides in you. Joy will remain. Amen. Joy will remain. There's a peace and joy that remains on the inside that you cannot explain. You can have your worst day. You could be going through the worst time of your life. And then all of a sudden, still on the inside, there's a joy. Man, there is a joy. I'm not laughing. I might even be crying, but there's a joy. Amen. I might even be down and out and feel like, man, this is a hard, hard place in my life. And there'll be hard places in your life. But that joy is in there. And it's amazing. And not only is it in there, but it's full to overrunning. Amen. Full to overrunning. And I would like to get deeper in this with it. Maybe the next time as we come back Sunday night, I want y'all to look in this right here, is when God fills you up with that joy, you'll be surprised at when that does come along and how you go through. I have found God is better to me in the harder times of life and those places where you think, man, this is going to be so difficult. And I'm going to feel so alone and so weird. But God all of a sudden comes in on that and just does so much, man. So much. There's joy in those places that you're going, man, I was regretting. I was thinking, man, I don't want to walk through that. I don't think I can go through it. I don't know if I can stand through that. And next thing you know, you're going through it and there's joy that's there. There's a joy that you're sitting there going, man, I can't believe I've got joy through this. I could speak on about 20 different episodes right there in my life, but that there's a, you'll know what I'm talking about if you've experienced it. And if you haven't, just hang out with God through it. You'll see it. Let's get verse 12. This used to be my favorite verse. I really don't even know what my favorite verse is anymore. Ain't that sad? I got so many different places in the Bible that I just love. The book of Ruth, I could pick about 10 different verses out of the book of Ruth. I love the whole book of John. I mean, there's just so much. But I love this verse because when it first got a hold of me, when I first got saved, this was the biggest change in my life. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Jesus gave his life for us. So what he's asking us is to give our lives for him and for others. Man, when I first seen that, I hadn't been saved long. I read that verse and I said, oh man, love as I've loved you. I'm just going to try to love people like Christ loved me. I'm going to try to give my life that other people might be saved. That's it. That was the whole thing in my life. When I first got saved, I said, man, what can I do? And God had given me one gift, one ability. I could take this book, I could see it, and I could put it to word and preach it. It's the only thing I knew. I didn't know anything else. I knew maybe shortly after I got saved, I started sharing. I remember one time I went up to the First Baptist up in Cleveland. We were doing a VBS thing up there for a whole church. It was countywide. It probably reached out into about two states. The First Baptist Cleveland's huge. They got one Sunday school class there. It's got 600 people in it. I'll tell you one thing. So I remember going there, and I was at the VBS meeting, and there was this one church group. It probably had about 200 people in it. And for some reason, we were going through the VBS that was, you know, out that year. And we were going through the training and everything. Me and another guy were there, Jeff. And the lady said, hey, you seem excited about what's going on in your life. Will you share your testimony? And I went, sure. So there's about 200 people there in the classroom. And there was probably about, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people there, period. It's a big VBS thing. So I start sharing my testimony, and I just shared it all, how I got saved and what was going on. And everybody in the room was just leaning in, like listening. You could have heard a pin drop. I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. I said, then you go got self-doubt stuff. It only been a couple months when I saved. I was like, that was stupid. I should have done that. It took too much time, blah, blah, blah. I go down into the lobby, and I hear a bunch of people talking, and, you know, there's thousands of people there. So me and Jeff, I said, man, we got to get out of here, man. That was crazy. He goes, man, that was so awesome. I can't believe you shared like that. And that was crazy. I'm like, yeah, I can't either. I got to leave. So we're heading out the parking lot. On one side of the parking lot, there's like 500 people dumped out on that side. And we was going out, and I was trying to get to my car as fast as possible because I was like, I was so weird. I was just like, oh, God, this is so stupid, you know. I almost get to my car, and I hear these people, that's him, that's the guy right there. I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? So I'm over there trying to get in my car, and all of a sudden they come around. There's about 100, 150 people following me over there. They're like, this guy shared his testimony. You got to hear it. Hey, share with them that testimony you shared up there in that class. Share it right now. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm standing out in this parking lot sharing my testimony, and I'm just going nuts because I couldn't help it. And they were like, oh, man, that's awesome. We did it. So they all left, and now I'm standing by myself, and it's even more weird. So I jump in the car. Now that we lived in Chatsworth, Georgia at the time, and I got in the car. The first thought was that was stupid again. As soon as my car pulled out of the parking lot, I began to preach, and I preached from Cleveland, Tennessee at First Baptist all the way home to Chatsworth, Georgia. I pulled up in the driveway, and I told Melissa, I said, one day I think I'm going to be a preacher. So saying all that to say this is God's given me one gift. One, that's it. One gift. And that's to share the gospel with you, you know, to share this book with people. And that's all I really wanted to do in life. So when I seen that verse, love people as I've loved you, I figured that God asked me to do one thing. I give you one gift, use it for the rest of your life to the best of your ability. Let's all stand. Everybody in this room, you've got a lot.